Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. We are 3 days into a brand new year. A year that's untouched. A lot of things happened last year to all of us and to the world. And although a lot of that happened to the world was not good, I can honestly say that I had a good year, even though bad things happened. I had a good year in the Lord, and I'm looking forward to this brand new year to see what mighty works God is going to do. We don't know what this year will bring. I pray that it will be the year that our Savior will come, and we can all go home to eternal retirement. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Get to see our loved ones again. I'm anxious to have another talk with Mama. I can't believe she'll be gone 2 years this year. Well, how time flies. Dad has gone 20 years, so he'll be 21 this year. And I actually retired last year. Forced retirement. So I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But through it all, God is there. And no matter what we'll face this year, folks, make sure we face it with our Heavenly Father. Because He's the only one that can get us through. Yes, it may be hard times. Maybe times when you feel you're going to give up. That's when you got to really burn the carpet with your knees by prayer. My message is entitled, If I Only Had One Day. Who knows, maybe this year we'll be told we only have one day. But in God's eyes, we only have one day because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if we really want to boil it all down in the pot, we really don't even have this day. We only have the moment because none of us knows where we're going to be when church is over. And we go our separate ways. But I want to preach to you this morning about if I only had one day. So consider for a few minutes, if you only had one day to live, what would you do with that day? Would you perhaps spend it doing something you always wanted to do, but never got the chance? Or maybe you might choose to spend it with family and friends. So maybe some of us might want to spend that day fulfilling some fantasy we've had all our lives. Or perhaps we'd spend it as we have any other day. Get up in the morning. Strut to the washroom. Try to open our eyes. Okay, I got that done. Strut to the kitchen. Hook kettle in. Something hot, bit of breakfast. Try and wake up. Probably see what the weather is for the day, see what was going on in the world while we were asleep. And then I'll decide, what am I going to do today? In our scripture reading that the psalmist David is contemplating this thought as well. What would I do? He's thinking. But then he comes to the realization that one day spent serving God is better than 1,000 days spent doing anything else. Now I know we got to do housework, ladies. Because, you know, we got to get all the dust, at least for 5 minutes, off everything. And I know we got dishes to do, at least for an hour. And we got other things, the laundry and stuff to do. But I'd rather be like David and spend one day serving God than spend 1,000 days doing all that everyday stuff or anything else. So David is saying, if he only had one day, 24 hours in which to live, he would spend it with the Lord and doing his work, Lord's work. If I only had one day, how would I spend it? How would you spend it? You know, I think I would rather spend it serving him. Serving the Lord. What about you? In the verses 10 to 12, David talks about his decision and the reasons why he feels this way. For us human beings, we always got to have a reason why. When I was in school and I was taught 2 + 2 = 4, I asked a teacher why. Why does it have to be 4? Why is it 4? How do you know it's 4? When we're doing algebra, I really drove them crazy. And we're doing logarithms. Why is it this way? And the teacher would look at me, just do it. We are always wanting to know why. We are a very questionable people on this earth. Why? So David gives us a few reasons why. In the next few minutes, we're going to take a look at these verses and we're going to tear them apart. So if you have your Bibles, open them to verse 10, because that's where we're going to start. If I only had one day, I would want to, first of all, be found in my place of service, and I don't mean doing dishes, in the kitchen. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper. I don't know if I'd be able to consider that the lowest thing on the totem pole. A doorkeeper, opening the door, letting people in on the door so others can come in. David tells us he'd rather be the lowly doorkeeper of the house of God than to be out what's beyond the doors, enjoying wealth and luxury of evil. I don't think I want to be down on George Street. I wouldn't want to be keeper of those doors. I wouldn't want to be keeper of the discotheques, 70s word. I wouldn't want to be doorkeeper of the liquor stores. But I'd rather be, he says, the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. David was willing to give all his wealth. And I believe David had a lot of wealth. He was king of Israel. Give it all to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He'd rather be found serving him, the Father, Abba Father, than serving the devil. And I say a big loud amen to that. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 12, it tells us that every saint of God, all of us, we have a special place of ministry in service to the Lord. While some positions are more visible than others, there is no one and nothing any more less or valuable than any other position in the body of Christ. We are all equal. At the foot of the cross, we are all equal. There's no one higher than the other. There's no position higher than the other. We are all equal. And whatever we do in serving God is all part of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that we are like a body, like the body, our hands, our legs, our organs, everything works together. So we can't work together. If my lungs are not working, my heart is not working. If I'm short one arm, I've got limited ability, and so forth. We are all equal in what we do for Christ. And the greatest thing a man can say is that he is being, a man or woman can say, is that being faithful to the task God has called him to do. We need to be faithful no matter if it's some serving down a potluck, to taking up collection, to being a doorkeeper in Father's house. We need to be faithful to our task. So if we had one day to live, we should want to be found in our place of service, doing what the Lord has called us to do. Note, David just wants to be in the door, looking after it, where he can look in every now and then and see the Lord at work. in verse 10, if I have one day, I want to be in my place of surrender. The words, my God, seems to infer a sense of devotion to God. David tells us that he wants to be found in his place, surrendered to the perfect will of God for his life. In other words, he wants to die on the battlefield, faithfully serving the Lord who sought him and brought him out of sin and destruction. When Jesus comes, I want to be found on the battlefield, the spiritual battlefield, doing what I can. When they come and ask me, and I feel this is not very far away, when the Sunday law will become in effect, and as the remnant church and Christians, we will be forced to make a commitment, to take a stand. I pray and ask God every day when that time comes that I'll stand and I'll pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I want to be found doing his work. I want to be found being fully surrendered. If we only had one day, we should want to live it still surrendering to the Lord's will for our lives. There's no higher calling than that of simply being what the Lord wants you to be. Don't be afraid to be what the Lord wants you to be. There's nothing to fear. Talked about fear this morning at Sabbath school. The fear I'm talking about right now is a fear of failure, a fear of the unknown. Don't be afraid. When you surrender to what God wants you to do, there's a little girl in our church. She plays beautifully. She's nervous. And I said to her, I said, when you get up to play, and she plays wonderful. When you get up to play, before you do, go somewhere like I do when I have to sing or speak. I go to my house as well, but when I get in church and I thank the Lord you're here and that you're able to serve him today. But I said, you go and you pray and you said, Lord, I'm just a vessel. I'm just someone who wants to do something for you. When you go up and you play, you ask God to give you strength and help. And you tell him that you're not doing this because you want glory. You're doing this so that God will be glorified. And he will bless you. And I said, you know what? When you give it to him, when you get up to play, God is going to take over. And when God takes over, beautiful things will be heard and seen and done. There's no higher calling than that of simply being what the Lord wants you to be. He has great plans for each of us. He tells us that he has plans for us to prosper. What have we got to be afraid of? God is greater than anything we serve. God is greater than Satan. He's greater than any problem that's going to arise this year. He's greater than any happiness you're going to have this year. Be what he wants you to be. Don't be afraid. Step out of the boat. Get in the water. Get your feet wet. It's fun when you're serving the Lord. You know, here it is, a brand new year. I don't know what God has in store. He may lead me down through paths of waters that are deep. I may walk through the shadow of the valley of death again. I may be up on the mountain where there's all beautiful sunshine and happiness. I don't know, but I know as I go through the year, I go through it with the hand of God linked into my hand, and we walk the road of this journey of this year together. In my place of surrender. If I had one day, I want to be in my place of satisfaction. David tells us by his decision that he believes the Lord's worst. The Lord's worst. Can you imagine the Lord's worst? It's still better than the devil's best. Isn't that something? The Lord's worst is better than the devil's best. So if the devil's best is to take my life, and I die on the way home today, God forbid, then you know something? The worst is, next face I see when I open my eyes will be Jesus. God's worst is better than the devil's best. You see, a surrendered saint has learned something that the world never gets a handle on. And that's this. All the devil's apples have worms. All the devil's apples have worms. Nothing is more satisfying than serving the Lord and knowing that you are in His will. If we only had but one day to live, we should still want to be found in our place, serving our sweet, beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at verse 11. For the Lord is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Verse 11, if I only had one day, I would want to be enjoying God's presence. David calls the Lord a sun. And like the sun that's out there shining today, the Lord is forever with His children. We look at Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself, that's Jesus Christ, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. And again, we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. We all know what that, as part of the Great Commission, He says, teaching them, Jesus is talking, He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can't get any clearer. But He's telling us, right straight from Him. It's not a third party saying this. It's straight from the Lord. I am with you always. And in His holy word, it's so much of Him telling us that He's with us always. You know, one of the things when I became Seventh-day Adventist, and you know what? That's been 17 years ago. Where has time gone? But I tell you, it's been the best 17 years of my life. And it's been a wonderful year. Time has gone by so fast. I always used to have a problem reading the Old Testament. You know, couldn't get anything out of it. So I took up reading the Conflict of the Age series, and I started the course at the beginning, Patriarchs and Prophets and Prophets and Kings. And in Prophets and Kings, one when I was reading that, there's a lot of things stood out to me, but one other thing kind of stood out to me more because I experienced this in my life all the time. And when I read it, it just stuck in my mind. And it said, the children of Israel, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, right? But their shoes never wore out. And that kind of flabbergasted me because I'm an awful hard person on shoes. The most trivial He looked after was their shoes. They didn't wear out 40 years, and I couldn't keep a pair for a month. I mean, 40 years steady walking with the same shoes that never wore out. Doesn't that tell you something? Doesn't that tell you that God loves us? He looks after everything that we need, right down to our toes, our feet. And if that don't stir your soul, But that stood out to me. I can't get over that. If I only had one day enjoying God's presence. Like the sun above, the Lord is ever providing comfort for the journey. If we turn to Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why are we so burdened? Give it up. Give it over to God. Take it to the cross. You know, I noticed last year one of the sayings was, do it and then forget it. Certain things, right? Set it, forget it, then forget it. Let's set our burdens on God and then forget it. Let him deal with it. He's the only one that can deal with it the proper way. That we will come shining forth as gold. God lights our way. He warms our way and gives guidance to us along the way. And just as the sun delights the hearts of men, so the Lord delights the hearts of his children. Only one day, I would rather be enjoying his protection. Oh, the stories I could tell you about God's protection. The Lord is also called the shield. Just as he provides warmth and light for our journey, he provides protection for his people in the same way. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34:7 that we are protected by the angel of the Lord. He is above us to give us what we need, and he's all around us to protect us as we journey toward our final destination, which is heaven. And I thank God that we are kept by his power. Because if I had to be kept by my power, I wouldn't be standing here today. One of these days, next time if I'm asked to come here, I'm going to give you my testimony of my life. And if I had to be the protector of my own life, no, I would not be standing here today. But it's through the power of God that we are here today. One day, only to live, I would enjoy his promises. The psalmist tells us that the Lord will give grace and glory. And this is a twofold promise to every child of God. We are promised his grace while we travel on our journey to heaven, and we are promised his glory when we finally arrive at home, which is heaven. There is help for today and tomorrow, and hope for tomorrow and today. God is simply promising to get us home safely. Amen? We need to keep focused on him. If I had one day, I would rather be enjoying his plentiness. In this verse 11, we are told and reminded that the Lord delights in providing for the needs of his children. In Luke 12:32, we are told that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He's giving it to us. Question is, do we want to take it? We must remember that we are his children and the sheep of his pasture. Maybe the reason, you know, we have so many troubles and we experience and worry as we do. You know, I used to worry a lot over my mother. Especially after my dad went, I even got worried to the point over mom that I even had, back in 1994, her funeral all planned out in my mind. Because I figured, okay, dad's gone, she's going to be next, and she's going to go with heart disease and all of that. And I'd worry, thinking there was something wrong. But I've learned over the past few weeks since Mama has passed away that all that worrying was in vain. And I also learned that worrying, according to the Bible, is sin. Because you see, it wasn't her heart that took her out. It was cancer. And I also realized that there was nothing I could do. It was now out of my control. I had to let go. What we need to do is we need to let go and let God. So maybe we have all these troubles and trials and worries because we've forgotten to whom we belong. We belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. We are God's people and His responsibility. He will bless our lives. It is a simple matter of us learning to trust Him and rest in Him. Bible tells us to trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Verse 12, and this is in closing. If I only had one day, I would want to share God's promises. The psalmist closes praising the Lord and exalting Him. In doing so, he reminds us that genuine happiness can be produced only by placing one's faith and trust in the Lord. This speaks of a life that is yielded and walking in true faith. The person who walks in faith is blessed and can count on the Lord showing himself strong in whatever need they have. Like the psalmist David, God's people need to be in the business of spreading the word of faith in Jesus pays off. Our job is to share the gospel of grace with a world that is sold under sin. And we are getting so close to the end. We should now be pulling no punches, no holes barred, regardless of what they will do to us, but we need to get out and tell that gospel. Straightforward, right to the point, no sugarcoating. We have a world that's being swallowed up in sin. If we only had one day, we should want to spend it telling someone, find someone that needs to hear about Jesus. If you knew that tomorrow would be your last day upon earth, how would you spend it? God help us to decide to spend whatever days that we have left on this earth. Let's spend it for Him and His glory. We can't take the riches of this world, which is all going to turn to rust with us when we die. But when we die, we can take Jesus with us. Lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. Yes, I know we need to have a certain amount to survive down here. God knows that. He knows. But let's not forget the greatest treasure of all, and that's Jesus Christ to a dying world. Blessed is the person who does serve the Lord and all that He requires. It's a brand new year. I invite you to make that commitment today. Recommit our lives to Jesus Christ this year, doing what He would have us do. All of us will be faced with decisions that we will have to make. I don't know what kind of decisions. I know the kind I will have to make, but I'm looking forward to making those decisions with God. I'm so excited, as I do every year this time, so excited to see what God is going to do. So I pray this today as we leave here. I ask and pray that this year you will take and go with God. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Glory be to Him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to His glorious presence, innocent and happy. To God, the only God who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power which He had before time began, now and forevermore shall be. Amen.